Welcome back to the deep dive. So you've handed us this whole stack of sources. It's a lexicon, really, of anatomical root words. And our mission today is to turn what looks like an intimidating list into, well, the ultimate master key. If medical language has always felt like some impossible code, this deep dive is your shortcut. We're aiming for quick and thorough fluency. We're not just, you know, reading definitions.
No, not at all.
We're analyzing the fundamental building blocks of human anatomy to see how it all fits together.
That's the key distinction, isn't it? This isn't about rote memorization of thousands of words.
Yeah.
By decoding these Greek and Latin roots, we're actually uncovering the structural logic the body was named after.
Centuries ago, right?
Exactly. Centuries old. We'll be connecting dots between organs, finding these linguistic synonyms, and I think most importantly, spotting the roots that have dual or really unexpected meanings. Mm-hmm. That's how you get genuinely well-informed fast.
Okay, let's unpack this master key. When we look at the body as a system, the notes you shared, they start with what's basically a highly sophisticated plumbing system.
Right. And this first section gives us these critical distinctions for managing internal flow and filtering. So if we're talking filtering, we have to start with the kidneys.
The renal system is the perfect starting point. It really is.
Yeah.
Because it immediately shows how language is used to differentiate location from, you know, function.
Okay.
The root for the kidney itself is pretty straightforward. Renae or reno.
Uh-huh.
So anything renal relates directly to that essential filtering organ.
So if you hear about renal failure,
you instantly know which organ is involved. No ambiguity.
But the kidney isn't a standalone unit, is it? It's connected to this whole outflow network.
Right.
And this is where things get tricky, because the source material introduces several similar sounding tubes.
And confusing them is the number one trap.
Absolutely. The number one trap for the learner.
It is. You have to know the flow pathway. First, you've got pylo. Now, that refers to the renal pelvis. It's like the funnel where all the filtered fluid collects inside the kidney.
A funnel inside the kidney.
Exactly. And if you combine that with a common suffix, like, say, iitis for inflammation, you get pyelonephritis.
There you go. Inflammation of the renal pelvis and the kidney. A word that sounds so intimidating is now completely decoded.
So the fluid collects in the pylo, and then it has to get to the bladder. Which tube handles that leg of the journey?
That tube is identified by the root ureteral. It carries the fluid from the kidney to the bladder. But the crucial confusion happens at the next stage.
Ah, the other U word. The tube that carries the fluid out of the body from the bladder.
Precisely. That is urethro. So you have the urethral kidney to bladder and the urethral bladder to the outside.
And knowing those two just immediately clarifies the whole sequence.
It clarifies the entire plumbing sequence. It ensures you never confuse which way the liquid is moving. Linguistically speaking, it's the difference between a minor blockage and
a surgical emergency.
Yeah, exactly.
That clarity is fantastic. Okay, so before the kidney even does its work, all that flow has to arrive through this network of internal passageways. And when we look at the vessels, we run into some really interesting synonyms for vein.
Yeah, this is where we see the Greek versus Latin origins really come into play. You have phlebo, which specifically and consistently means a vein or veins.
Okay, phlebo.
And that root is still dominant when naming procedures. Think about phlebotomy, the procedure of cutting into or accessing a vein. The term doesn't mince words.
And yet the source material also gives us this trio of similar sounding roots. Vein, veni, and vino. They also mean vein. Why the overlap?
Well, while they're often interchangeable now, especially in general anatomical descriptions like venous blood, the distinction historically was about how the blood was accessed or viewed. Phlebo is often preferred for procedures because it's the more specific Greek root.
And the vino variants.
Sometimes they broaden out a bit to just mean duct or passage in a more general sense.
But then the sources introduce a much broader term, a kind of umbrella for any internal channel.
Mm-hmm.
If we step back from the specific vein, phlebo, we see the root vaso.
Yes, vaso. That's the universal key for flow. It just means vessel or duct without specifying if it's carrying blood or lymph or anything else. It's totally nonspecific.
And that breath is important.
It's so important because it shows the interconnectedness of all these systems.
Yeah.
Every single structure we're about to talk about, every organ, bone, and tissue is completely reliant on this network of vessels.
And as the sources remind us, all these individual systems, the plumbing, vessels, glands, they are collectively known by the root viscero.
Viscero, referring to the viscera, the internal organs.
It's all one huge interconnected system of viscero connected by vaso. That's a really powerful way to think about it.
It is. And since all those flow systems need a structure to operate within, well, let's pivot naturally. Speaking of structure, what roots hold the body up?
Absolutely. The structural supports, the solid landmarks, the lexicon provides these highly specific roots that just lock down our skeletal geography.
We can start with the core, the vertical support. For the spine, we have spondylo, which means vertebra or the spinal column.
Spondylo.
And this root is excellent because it immediately helps you decode complex conditions. Mm. Someone mentioned spondylolisthesis, for example.
A slipped vertebra.
Right, a condition where a vertebra slips forward. Mm. The spondylo root tells you exactly where the problem is.
It's a literal building block.
Okay.
And then we need to anchor the rib cage. The chest area is covered by sterno.
For the sternum, or breastbone, specifically. And we can't forget the base of that vertebral column. It's the structure supporting the whole pelvic girdle.
That has its own root, too.
It does, sacro for the sacrum. These roots let medical professionals pinpoint skeletal locations with absolute certainty.
But structural support isn't just about hard bone, is it? It's also the soft tissue anchors, the things connecting those bones to the muscles that move them.
Correct. For that essential connective tissue, we have tendo and tano, which mean tendon. Without those, motion is just impossible. The anatomy is so precise that even the smallest non-vascular structures get their own clear linguistic identity.
From solid structure, let's move to a system that needs constant interaction with the outside world, the lungs and breath. And just like with the vessels we talked about, the lungs have more than one primary root, and they cover slightly different ground linguistically. What stands out here?
The duality here is fascinating because it reflects two different angles of description, where we talk about the function or the organ.
Right.
The most comprehensive root is pneuma or pneumo. This one is broad. It means lungs, respiration, air, and breath. It covers the organ and the entire vital function.
So if you're talking about the mechanics of breathing or a disease affecting air capacity like pneumonia, you'd probably use pneumo.
You would. But if you only want to refer to the anatomical organ itself,
then what do you use?
Then you would typically use pulmo. Pulmo is dedicated solely to the lungs as a physical organ. It's why we talk about the pulmonary artery, the vessel that goes directly to the lung tissue.
It's more focused.
Much more focused. It means less ambiguity when you're discussing pure anatomy.
And of course, associated with the lungs is that delicate lining of the chest cavity.
Right. And that lining is captured by pleuro, which refers to the pleura, rib, or side. This, again, just shows that structural hierarchy.
So you have the function in air.
Pneumo. The organ, pulmo, and then the surrounding casing, pleuro.
That hierarchy flows really nicely into the digestive tract. When we look at the endpoints of that system, we find another case of roots overlapping in what they cover. We see recto for the rectum.
And we also see procto. Now, what's important for the learner here is that procto is the broader, more encompassing root. It means rectum or anus.
So it covers both terminal parts.
It covers both. And this is why the medical specialty for diseases in that area is proctology. It's the study of the full lower end of the digestive tract, not just the rectum. Recto is much more restrictive.
Okay, we've covered flow and structure, and now we're moving into the section that I think really delivers on that promise of surprising insight.
Yes.
We're getting into the roots that reveal these truly unexpected conceptual connections, the ones that really make you pause and think about the history of medicine.
This is where the source material just gets so rich. Let's start with a root that links the physical movement of the body to the abstract concept of consciousness. We're talking about phrenai, phrenico, or phreno.
And the definition is explicit. This single root means both diaphragm and mind. Diaphragm and mind.
It is a phenomenal connection packed into a single root.
Mm-hmm.
When you see that, it immediately raises this important question about historical medical understanding, doesn't it?
It has to.
It suggests there was this powerful linguistic and maybe even clinical link between the act of physical breathing, the movement of the diaphragm, and the state of one's mental health.
So are we suggesting that the ancients literally believed that stability in your deep breathing mechanism was tied to the stability of your mind?
Linguistically, yes. To talk about a mental illness using a derivative of phreno implies the condition was somehow rooted in the same physical region as the diaphragm. I mean, the diaphragm is the emotional center for so many ancient cultures. It's where we feel anxiety or excitement.
And that entire conceptual architecture is just preserved inside that one root word.
Exactly. It makes it so much more than just a label.
It really makes the lexicon feel less like a glossary and more like archaeology.
I like that.
Okay, so moving to a different kind of surprise, we have the confusing homograph a root, spelled the exact same way, but referring to two totally different, unrelated anatomical concepts.
This is the definitive trap for the learner. We already established that sacro refers to the sacrum, right? The large bone at the base of the spine.
Solid structural anatomy, yeah.
But wait, the source material also lists the identical root, sacro, as meaning flesh muscular substance.
Wow. So you have the hard, immovable bone and the soft, pliable tissue, both using the exact same root.
The exact same root, which means you cannot simply rely on the definition of the root alone.
Context is everything.
Precisely. Context is the only thing that saves you here. If you see this root combined with a term for bone fixation, you know you're talking about the pelvis. If you see it applied to something involving muscular deterioration.
You know, you're talking about flesh. It demands you engage with the whole medical term.
You have to.
We also identified a remarkable root that acts as a sort of anatomical travel agent. It bridges two completely separate systems, reproductive and auditory, just based on functional shape.
That would be the root salpingo. Mm. Its definition is fallopian or Eustachian tube.
I mean, just think about the anatomical disparity there. The reproductive tract versus the ear canal, they're nowhere near each other in the body.
Not even close. Yet they share the same root.
Why?
Because the connection is purely functional and visual. Both structures are narrow tubes, a salpingo, that connect two discrete cavities. The language prioritizes the physical form, the tubular shape, over the location or the systemic function. It's an incredibly efficient, but yeah, potentially confusing way of creating a root word.
That wraps up our main sections. But before we summarize, let's quickly tick off the remaining major structures from the source material so our listener has the complete overview.
Good idea.
We have some glands and other specialized organs that demand attention.
For endocrine glands, we are given two very similarly spelled roots. Thymo for the thymus gland.
And thyro for the thyroid gland.
And you have to note that while they look similar and are both glands, they are distinct organs with distinct functions. You have to be careful to recognize them.
And we also have key organs of the lymphatic and immune system mentioned.
Yes, that's spleno for the spleen. And finally, linking the oral cavity to the respiratory and digestive systems, we have the throat structure, pharyngo for the pharynx.
And just to complete that pathway, we started with pneumo.
The main air duct is tracheo, the trachea.
So after all that, what does this all mean? We started with a pile of source words, and what we've done is build a linguistic foundation. You now possess a shortcut, a master key, recognizing roots like phlebo for vein, reno for kidney, spondylo for the vertebra, and thyro for the thyroid. It means that decoding these huge, complex medical terms is no longer about brute force memorization.
It's about recognition.
It's about recognizing that pyelonephritis means inflammation of the kidney's funnel, or that phlebotomy just means cutting a vein.
And the real value is in the insight, the critical thinking it fosters.
Mm-hmm.
We have to reiterate the profound finding of phreno. That connection between the physical diaphragm and the abstract mind.
Yeah.
That simple root word challenges our modern, often siloed views of anatomy and psychology. It forces us to consider how past generations saw the body as this interconnected system of physical and emotional centers. This source material doesn't just teach vocabulary, it teaches history. It teaches conceptual architecture.
And we want to leave you with one final thought based entirely on the sources we've just explored. We established that the root viscero refers to the viscera, all those internal organs.
Right.
And we saw how specific anatomical language can be, right down to the distinction between those two U-tubes, uretero and urethro.
We also highlighted that vaso is the general term for vessel, and veno is a bit more specific for a vein or duct.
So now that you know the building blocks, think about the universal pathways. If you had to bet on one single root to describe the essential, non-negotiable duct system that makes the entire viscera work, the pathway connecting every discrete viscero part together, which single root carries the most linguistic load?
It's a question of recognizing the foundational role of circulation in connecting every single anatomical piece we've discussed.
Mull that over until our next deep dive.